any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there on Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
You got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Hey, welcome back. My name is Mike. This is Ego and Vice, and this is episode 14, the season finale, I promise. I said episode 13 was supposed to be the season finale, but I had Chris Landry, a local musician, in, and we had a long conversation because he is a very interesting dude, and just went deep into the evening. So anyway, this is the season finale, the last show of 2017. We're going to pick up right where we left off. This is Chris Landry, part two, Ego and Vice. Okay, so we're going to move on because you are a layered dude. You're like an onion. You just keep peeling back the layers and
didn't think so
there's
until
more
right
and
now.
More to go.
Yeah.
So that band,
Chester Sword and the Glory,
went on and then that band was done.
Went
obviously,
on to dissolve.
You're not in that band anymore.
Nope.
So what was the next venture in your illustrious...
That would have been the Harvey Cartel back in Ottawa.
Okay.
Yeah. And we played for a few years, you know, to critical ignorance. And
awesome.
Yeah. And then I started Glorious Moon Rockets. So the thing about Harvey Cartel, when I came back from Korea, Korea was my first experience playing country music with the guys from Chester Story and the Glory. Like, before that, I was playing blues and folk and stuff, and... You know, I listened to Johnny Cash and, like, you know, Willie Nelson and all those guys and stuff. And I liked that music, but I'd never considered that something that I would play.
Right.
And so when I joined that band, it was really an eye-opening experience. And I had so much fun. And I came back to Canada. I'm like, oh, man, I want to start a country band. But I also wanted to play rock and roll because I was really dying to play rock and roll again.
Okay.
And it became Harvey Cartel, which was kind of like a country rock or a southern... I hate saying southern rock because then I think of like a shitty...
Like Lynyrd Skynyrd?
I love Lynyrd Skynyrd, but every band that tried to copy them afterwards kind of sucked, or like some kind of like bar blues band where it's just like, you know...
Fair
like,
enough, yeah.
Yeah, dad rock shit. But So I was playing in Harvey Cartel, but I wanted to play something that was like heavier and faster and, you know... And so, you know, Glorious Moon Rockets was born out of that.
Glorious Moon Rockets.
Yeah.
And who was in that band?
The original lineup was me, Dave on drums, and Andy on bass. So, oh, wait a minute. Man, I can't remember now. Was Andy on bass in that band?
And what era?
Yeah.
What year are we talking about now?
That would have been like 2011.
Okay.
Or 10.
We're getting there.
Yeah, 10 or 11.
Cool.
Yeah, who was the first bass player in that band? Holy shit. Dave was the first drummer. I can't remember now.
No, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Rotating members, I've had many of them over the course of the years in bands.
Oh, yeah. That's the name of the game.
Yeah, so it's hard to... is there a certain member of a band or a certain instrument that is in a band that you don't get along with on average?
Oh, that I have to like kick out more often than not?
I have serious issues with bass players over the course of my career, if you want to, as you did the nut thing, blah, blah, the...
Yeah, the air quotes. Eric Royal, I think, was the first bass player for Glorious Moonrockets.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's still playing music.
You guys were buds?
How did I meet? Yeah, he was. So actually, this is funny. He was someone that I knew through Miles Howe, who was part of the Bad House Guest. So like from like whatever 6 or 7 years ago, mm-hmm. and when I met Eric, that would have been in like 2004, 2005. He was a kid. He was really young. He was like 19 or something, mm-hmm. and he looked identical to the kid from Dazed and Confused that gets spanked really bad, like that main, that young skinny kid with long hair. Like seriously, like a dead fucking ringer to that kid. But yeah, I think he was the first bass player in Glorious Moonrockets.
Okay.
Or one of the first.
Did you go through like a rotating door?
Oh, so many. So many. Yeah. Okay, so I guess to answer your question then, it's bass players.
Bass players. Me too, man. Yeah, me too. However, since I've had Paulie in GOAT, he's been the bass player in GOAT for 7 years. I've had issues with bass players in the past, but me and Paulie get along fucking smashingly.
Yeah, I hope he hears this then and knows how much you appreciate him.
Yeah, he might be one of the four that listens. He may be.
Amazing. Anyway. Paulie, if you have four friends, turn him on to this, man.
Yes. He has two friends. One of them is me, and one of them is the drummer of the band. So,
well, that's still increasing your listenership by 25%.
That's it. That's
so
it.
That's a good return.
All right. So, covered a lot of your history as far as bands, as far as all the stuff you've been through, as far as Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get a little bit more up to date.
Current.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about Chris Landry and the Seasick Mamas.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I want to know more about it. I've seen you guys play a couple times. Amazing stuff. Can tell it's directly from your fucking soul, from your heart. This is where you want to be as far as music goes.
You know, this is an interesting experience for me, this whole podcast thing, because it's not often or ever that I would sit down on my own and sort of take stock of what I've done musically. And from what I've learned about all this, as I sit here like with my bullet belt and my bandana, and I'm like presenting myself as this like punk rocker or metalhead, and like, and I love that stuff and I love to play it. I've played a fucking lot of folk and shit that wasn't like, you know, I got to get back into like a really heavy band.
That's cool, man. Like most people that I have on the show, actually, it's just on the show. Jesus Christ.
Is this a show? Is it not? You promised me a show.
I guess so, on the show. It's like when they sit down, like I just kind of ask questions and say, so where you been? Where you from? And like three quarters of the way through, they're like, holy fuck, I actually have kind of like a story. And that's the reason I do the podcast, because I enjoy, because I've known you for years.
Okay, well, we're going to have to do this again and I'll interview you.
Sure. That's what I was saying for like episode 13. I was going to do for episode 20. I was going to put a whole bunch of people's names in a hat.
Yeah.
And I was just going to pull it out, and I'm going to say for episode 20, the person who has been on the show is going to interview me. But
it should just be me. I think.
All right.
Yeah. I think it makes the most sense.
Episode 20, can I lock you in for
how
it?
How long would that be? Would that be in the warmer weather?
Yeah, that'd probably be more in the... Well, I do 3 to 4 a month. I'm at 13 now, so we're looking at March.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Well, I'm just thinking because we should probably get shit-faced. So I won't be able to drive home, or I could Uber or something. Anyways.
Yeah. Hi, man. You can crash on my floor.
Yeah, pencil me in. As long as it's not the weekend of the 3rd, because I'll be away, but like, yeah.
All right, we'll figure it out. All right, episode 20. You want to interview me for
I'll
episode
20? I'll do that, 20? Yeah.
All right, I will... let's commit to that.
Sure.
Cool. All right, so Chris Landry and the Seasick Mamas.
Right. Okay, so that... I just found out recently that I had had an earlier incarnation of the Seasick Mamas as far back as 2012. And so going back, like when Harvey Keitel turned into the Glorious Moonrockets, and that was like just purely like a rock punk kind of band, I still was writing folk and, you know, country kind of stuff. And I had a side project called the Train Jumpers. You know, we recorded some stuff. We never released anything. I think there's probably still a MySpace out there somewhere with some of our songs.
MySpace.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Can you believe that's still hanging around?
I know it's still there, but I haven't been on it in years.
MySpace is that person at the party that doesn't know when to leave.
Yeah.
Nobody likes you. Nobody wants you around anymore. Like, just fuck off. But there was the Train Jumpers, and then... And we actually played quite a bit. We did a lot of shows like at like the Elmdale and the Rainbow. Mm-hmm. And where else would we play? Man, I can't remember now. Holy shit. My memory is like not very good.
Okay. Well, that's
but we played at a lot of places.
I believe you.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. we never released any. We recorded a bunch of music and never released it, unfortunately. And then that kind of sort of came and went. And then I was still doing that kind of stuff. But I guess for whatever reason, I wanted to work with a different sort of crew or a different setup. And I created the first incarnation of the Seasick Mamas. And we recorded, I think, two songs, which are actually up there somewhere on a Bandcamp. Don't look for them. They're not.
Was it called the Seasick Mamas?
Okay. And the only reason I know that it was 2012 is because I was like just Googling the Seasick Mamas because, like, you know, trying to see if anybody's reviewed us or is paying any attention. And this article came up from 2012. But that was like really, really short lived. And then Glorious Moon Rockets was sort of taking up most of my time. And that was where my focus was. So, like, you know, fast forward 4 years later or something, you know, I was married and then I got divorced. And this album basically came out of that. So it's an album just talking about, you know, that sort of situation and a couple other, you know, it's a bunch of songs about heartbreak mostly.
When I was I was married once upon a time.
Not to me, though. We weren't married to each other.
No. We'd probably still be together.
We both like cats.
Yeah, that's right.
We both have long hair.
Yeah. Anyway,
we like to drink.
After I separated with my wife at the time, I actually went into my friend Brian's studio and Studio 169, which doesn't exist anymore. Now it's Shoebox Recording in Kanata. Check that out, shoebox.com. I'm not sure what it is, but I recorded like my divorce EP.
Nice.
And I recorded like four songs or five songs or something like that.
I think it's Dolly Parton has a song that's divorce, but she spells it out. It's like D-I-V-O-R-C-E or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's either her or Aretha Franklin, but I think it's Dolly Parton.
Well, I can't write songs as good as Dolly Parton, but I wrote like my divorce EP.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's out there anyway. So go on. Seasick Mamas. The second incarnation. You talked about the first.
Yeah. Well, so it's pretty much the same people, actually. Like, I think the first incarnation was myself. That was dumb, obviously. Stuart Rutherford was playing with me at the time. Now, back in 2012, Stuart Rutherford was also part of the Train Jumpers. He's amazing. He plays, like, give that man something with strings on it, and he will excel at it. He will play it better than you.
I fucking hate those guys, though.
He's amazing. Yeah, he's like, yeah, he's a musician through
and through. I love those guys,
but
I hate those guys.
I love having him as a, he's a fantastic dude, too, so I'm, like, very happy to call him a friend as well, but, like, I'm thrilled to have him make music with me as well. But at that point, I don't think he was playing pedal steel yet. So he was playing resonator and I don't know if he was playing fiddle at that point. It might have been mostly resonator. Mm-hmm. And then Jim McDowell was played some keys. So both of them are in the current incarnation of the Seasick Mamas. And all the accolades that I gave to Stuart also apply to Jim as well. Jim McDowell, he's a fantastic human being, an amazing musician, great collaborator. And so, yeah, so I you know, was really focused on the Glorious Moon Rockets and, you know, playing lots of shows and stuff, and then went through this divorce and this separation, and, you know, the stuff I was writing really didn't apply to the rock and roll band, and, you know, sure. I just felt like it was time to start playing some country folk music again, and this album came about out of that.
Life will, the way life goes will set you on a certain path, right?
Yeah, that's the thing that a lot of people, I think, don't acknowledge is that, like, you know, you obviously, you know, hope for the best, plan for the worst. And like, no matter what you do, there will be things that are going to happen that are out of your control.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this album, like I wrote this, I started writing the songs in like, I guess, 2015, sort of late 2015. So like the split happened in like June or July of 2015. And you have to process these things. At least for me, I tend to write about things sort of after the fact. Hmm. More recently, I've been able to write like really during that process when something happens. But at that time, I was like, I had to take time to process it. So I started writing in late 2015 into 2016. And then at the end of the 2016, I started recording this album and then released it in May of this year. And I've just been playing lots of shows and I did a short tour of the East Coast in the fall. So
yeah, where'd you go for that?
Went out east. So like, you know, I did Quebec City, Halifax, Fredericton.
Yeah, I followed some of it on Facebook, but I didn't exactly see where you went and that. How did that go, the tour?
It was a lot of fun. It was amazing. Like, again, a lot of empty rooms. I kind of expected that because this was a brand new project that no one knew much about. And to be perfectly honest, like, not that I didn't put enough into it, but I was very last minute on my planning for the tour. So I could have probably been more on top of things and gotten a better response, but whatever. I mean, when you're starting a new project and going out, you gotta expect no one to be there sometimes because people don't know who the fuck you are. And like, especially when you're coming from another city, unless you have like really great local support and you've really put a lot of work in, like you got to go out and do those shitty tours. You got to go out and play to nobody. And then the one like this podcast, if you have one friend who likes it and tells another friend and tells another friend, it's like, that's how it starts really.
Yeah. You got to do it. And that's touring. That's music. That's anything like media. That's anything, you know, you just do it and you keep doing it and you do it with the people that you're like with you, you do it with your friends in the band.
Well, we did this totally solo, this one.
Oh, you just went out acoustically?
Yeah, it was just me. No, I played electric through an amp, but solo.
Oh, dick. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The band didn't want to go.
Oh, did you do were you like headlining stuff or just like some opening things or?
Headlining.
Wow.
No. No, I was just, I was trying to book as many shows with like to get on existing bills or to hook up with like local bands that would bring people out. And the shows that I did, they were great. And the shows where that wasn't possible, they weren't as good, mm-hmm. obviously. So.
And how was the response for when there was people there? I
really,
get
really
goes,
positive. Yeah. 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 Honestly, like I was very, very surprised and touched. Mm-hmm. It's a very personal album, you know, mm-hmm. not that the Glorious Moonrocket stuff isn't, but there's the difference between pouring your heart out about like when you're saying I'm really hurt by this. Or this made me cry or something like that, you know, it's different than like when you're playing like, you know, with rock or punk or all these other things that if you're really making good music, it's from something that's important to you or that touched you in a certain way. But it's a lot different when it's something like this that's like so, you know, personal and revealing.
And you know? And what was the difference between like playing in Ottawa these songs for people you knew because you knew people in the crowd, mm-hmm. These cathartic songs, these like really emotional songs to go out and like pour your heart out to complete strangers in the crowd.
I think it's
like,
easier sometimes.
Was it good for you? Like, did you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was a great experience. I think it's easier. I think, you know, I think it's just like the same. I'm going to reference like the trip to Korea where when you go to a new place, it's like you're dealing with a blank slate and not that. I'm trying to think of how to express this properly. Like there's the weight of expectation that we all feel consciously or unconsciously. And it's not that you're walking around every day being like, well, I got to be this person because they expect it. But I think we're affected by that. And when you're in a totally new situation, that's very freeing. It's like when you go on vacation, you go to a new place, you're kind of a different person. Like you're not,
you be anybody you want to be.
Yeah. And you're not burdened by work and you're not burdened by your parents or you're not burdened by any of these things, you know? And so going out on the road can be like that too. And especially playing for a new crowd, like, you know, some of the shows I did, like the best show I did was at a place called the Carlton Music Bar and Grill or something in Halifax. And I opened for, Dutch Mason's son, Garrett Mason, who's, oh man, like one of the best guitar players I've ever seen live. But nobody there, like they were there for him. They weren't there for me. And I was lucky that the promoter there put me on the bill. But I was playing for a bunch of people who had no idea who I was. They didn't know what to expect. And that's very liberating. Like you just go up and do
your
thing.
Yeah, the response
you know?
was good.
Really good. Yeah. Yeah, I sold a bunch of CDs and people really seemed to enjoy it.
That's rad.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, it was great.
I love Halifax. Halifax is my favorite city in Canada. I've been there many times. The people are fucking awesome. Played there a few times.
It's great.
Yeah.
My favorite city out east is Sackville, though. I've always had the best fucking time. Man, honestly, like, and that's not... That's not detracting. Like, I love Halifax.
From the name. Sorry.
You know, but Sackville is the best, man. We had the best shows there and the best response and just, like, the best parties, everything. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, Sackville was amazing. Every
Why
time.
Did you do that show just you? Why didn't you bring the band?
They
Or that tour, pardon me.
They weren't able to go on the road. Mm. Yeah, like Stu and Jim are both very busy, and I have KJ Thomas, who's singing the female parts on that, or the harmonies and stuff, and who is... also equally amazing. Mm-hmm. But they're all very busy people. Mm-hmm. They have lives, they have jobs, they have commitments. And like
tours are tough, man. It's a
I'm not,
it's a
yeah,
huge
I'm not
break.
Offering you like a huge monetary or any kind of monetary reward. It's like we're gonna go and see what happens, right?
Right.
And I've toured with Glorious Moonrockets a few times, and that's different because like, you know, I think the rock band situation is just a lot different because the people playing that are probably in a different stage than people that are playing more contemporary kind of music like what we're doing.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so yeah, they just weren't able to do it, and that was fine. Like writing this album, the songs were just supposed to be acoustic songs anyways, right? Like they're, you know, very kind of, I don't know if simple is the right word, but kind of bare bones, and it's really evolved from there. Like now I'm playing them on my electric and stuff, but I always pictured myself. I had this sort of like, I thought it was kind of like a romantic notion to go out on the road alone, just me and my guitar and tour around.
I ran into a guy, me and Steph, in my other band called The Copper Altar, which is an acoustic duo, and we met this guy named Deeds. That was his name.
Deeds.
Yeah, and he basically toured by himself, nice. And he said it was a lonely fucking, it was a lonely trip.
Well, I only did a week and a half or so.
Well, still, you know what I mean? Like, you picture, like, the tour being with, like, you and your bandmates and stuff like that, and you, like, play the show, then yeah. You hang out with people, and you go do what you do, but when you're by yourself, it must be very introspective just being, like, once the show's done, and then you go to your hotel, or you go to sleep in your van hotel. Or whatever. Well, whatever, you sleep in your van, or you sleep under a bridge.
Yeah, or people's... This tour was great, because I always had a couch or a bed to sleep in, yeah. With people I knew, so... Yeah,
well, that's brave as shit.
Didn't sleep in the car as much. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I guess people say that. I don't find that. Like, I thought it was a lot of fun, and yeah. So the difference between touring with a band and touring solo, like, of course, like, you know, part of this trip, you know, I was there at the end of September. The weather was amazing. It was like 30 degrees. So I went and found these amazing beaches in Halifax or outside of Halifax that are on the ocean that like are basically tropical beaches in Canada. I didn't know that existed here. Mm-hmm. And so there was moments where I was sitting there being like, wow, it would be cool to have like a friend to share this with. But at the same time, it's really liberating when you wake up every day and you're on your own schedule and you're not trying to like round people up to get somewhere on time. Or if, what are we going to do today? And there's like four different ideas of what you want to do. It's just like, I could do whatever the fuck I wanted. I was left to my own devices. So, you know, again, it was a week and a half tour in September. The weather was really nice. It wasn't the middle of winter. I wasn't on the road for like 4 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I could see how it could get, you know, a little bit repetitive at that point or lonely, but I didn't feel
that. I don't
know.
I think it's inspiring. I think
sure,
it's amazing.
It was fun. Like, yeah, I would encourage everybody to do it.
And what did you take from that tour? What did you learn from touring by yourself?
Well, I didn't take
any... Because not a lot of people tour by themselves. You did that.
Like, yeah. I mean, I left behind a lot of money in terms of gas and booze and stuff, but what did
of
I take
course,
from it?
That's touring.
Yeah. it was great. Like, I don't know if there was like a certain... Like one thing I could say that I learned or a theme, but like just knowing that you can do it and that you can, I think it was a unique experience as well because I've been out east a bunch of times. Like I've toured there with Glorious Moon Rockets and I did that with Bad House Guests. And like I said, I have good friends in most of the cities out there. So I'm going to a place where I know people. I'm, even if the show is shitty, I'm really happy to see my friends and hang out with them because I haven't seen them in a year or whatever it's been. Talk to me when I've done like, the West Coast tour when I play in like Saskatoon or Sault Ste. Marie or someplace or however you pronounce it. And like, it's cold and shitty and no one there, you know, I don't know anybody and I'm sleeping in my car. That would be a different experience. This is a pretty safe kind of tour.
Fair enough. Let's play a Chris Landry and the Seasick Mamas song. What do you want to hear?
Let's do As the Nights Go Shuffling Down. I love that song.
As the Nights Go Shuffling Down. This is... Chris Landry and the Seasick Mamas. The song is called As the Nights Go Shuffling Down. This is Ego and Vice. Sight.
as your road turns away, as your hands grow cold and you cannot hold on to love as it slips away. I'll hold all your grays as your colors they fade, as the nights go shuffling down, as the nights go shuffling down.
That was Chris Landry and the Seasick Mamas, and that was a song called As the Nights Go Shuffling Down. What's the future of the band? Where do you want to go? What are you doing?
Well, we're in the midst of recording our second album right now.
Okay.
It started out, actually, the same as the first album. Was going to be an EP, and then it became an album. And the same thing is happening now, where it's like, you know, I had a handful of songs, like three or four songs, and now we're, I think, up to seven, and I think I have one or two more I'm going to throw on there.
Are you still recording with Steve Donnelly?
Yeah, at 10 Volt Audio.
10 Volt Audio?
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, if you're looking for a place to record something and, you know, very, very affordable, very great space to be creative in, Steve's a great producer. He knows music. He plays music. Like, yeah, I couldn't recommend them highly enough.
And that's in Ottawa?
Yeah, he's in Westboro.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's central, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
And he's got a cool dog named Zeus who likes to hang out while he records. So for all you dog lovers out there.
Well, that's super good. All right. So we're here with Chris Landry on Ego and Vice. We have a show coming up. Mm-hmm. And this is like an annual thing that you do.
It's become an annual thing.
Yeah. It's the Lemmy Revisited.
Yeah.
Because you're a huge Motorhead fan, which we've touched on earlier in the podcast mm-hmm. in episode one. How did this come about?
Well, it came about from Lemmy dying.
Well, yes, of course, but
Yeah, well, when he passed away in, like, what was that, 2015?
I think so.
Yeah. It was like, he was a very iconic person. He had, his influence is almost immeasurable in terms of, like, heavy music, you know, credited as one of the creators of heavy metal.
He is a legend.
Yeah, yeah. And, just a huge influence on me. So I just decided that I wanted to put on a show just to kind of celebrate the life and the music. And I approached Yogi at Targ. He was on board right away. And so the concept was we'd get a bunch of local bands together and we just play his music. And so, we decided to do that. And then we're like, well, we're going to charge cover. What are we going to do with the money? Like, you know, if we have to split it between 7 or 10 bands, it's not going to be a lot of money. And it doesn't seem right to take money from that and just like, not that it's not right to pay the bands, of course, like bands, especially now more than ever, need to get paid. But because it was a tribute to Lemmy and because he died of cancer, we decided to use it also as a fundraiser for local cancer care.
That's a good cause.
Yeah. And what I wanted to do was to support a local initiative so that whatever money that we were able to raise and give to them, it would have a direct impact. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the times when you're talking about like money for charities and stuff, you know, there's the big players. There's like the United Way and whatever else, like, or the Heart Institute or like breast cancer, whatever. They get all the funds. And like, I think the lesser known ones have to struggle even more. So it's not like they're doing any less important work. Yeah. So we supported the Ottawa Integrative, that's a word is so hard to say, Ottawa Integrative Cancer Center the first year. And then the second year we did the cancer ward at CHEO. Now, I'm sounding a little hypocritical because CHEO is a huge organization, but it is locally located, and you know, there's definitely not enough money in the world for, you know, treating and researching kids' cancer.
Yeah, for sure. And this is the third annual.
This is it, yeah.
At House of Targ.
Mm-hmm.
Has it always been at House of Targ?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and as long as it goes on, it will always be at House of Targ.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the only place to do it for sure.
Yeah, we all love House of Targ. And I was honored and privileged to get the invite.
Yeah.
That this year, on January 27th.
Saturday, January 27th.
When the Lemmy Revisited third annual.
Re-revisited.
Re-revisited. Yeah. Re-re-revisited, since it's the third.
Well, no, just, well, don't confuse people, because if they search it, it's re-revisited.
Oh, re-revisited.
If they look for re-re-revisited, they'll be looking at the 2019 edition, and we haven't sorted that one out yet.
Oh, shit. Right. So we're honored. Goat is honored to play. And
this is your second time, right? You guys were there the first year?
No, Sarah played.
Oh.
Sarah just played bass. She was in Goat at the time, but she played bass with Yogi.
Oh,
and
right. Yeah.
Somebody
okay.
else.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Goat was represented at the time, but but Goat did not play. So this is our first.
Well, cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Glad to get you guys in here.
I'm super excited. And we have a few songs. Chris sent us a list of songs that were still available, and I think we picked out a few of them.
Yeah.
That worked out. I think we're going to do about 4 songs.
Perfect.
Because we're not that good. So we're going to do our best, and we're going to do them very Goat style, I think.
That's the point. That's the mandate, is for bands to do them in their own style. Like, well, I mean, listen, it's up to you how you want to do it, of course. But mm-hmm. yeah, put your own perspective or take into it, you know.
Cool. And that's what we have to do, because Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So normally around this time of Ego and Vice, we do our question period. I do.
But haven't you been asking me questions this whole time?
Yeah, but these are more rapid fire questions. Oh. And I ask them of all guests that come on Ego and Vice. Do you want to do the rapid fire questions?
Sure. I didn't study for this, so like, don't judge me.
No, here they come.
You must be fuckered, man. Like, what's he talking about?
Any questions?
So that was my theme song, as I always play before the question period. Like I said, I worked 3.5 minutes on that, so I'm really proud of it.
Sounded awesome.
Thanks, man. Okay, here we go. Chris Landry.
Mm-hmm.
Rapid fire questions.
Hit me.
What is your biggest musical influence?
Probably Motorhead.
Elaboration, or just want to do rapid fire?
I was thinking rapid fire. Yeah,
no,
well, like, so it would have been like AC/DC was the first big influence, but Motorhead was a bigger influence. Lemmy being who he was, being someone that was like just very true to what he presented himself as. It was, you would never hear about a scandal with him. He would never let you down. He was just true. And that's like a very rare thing in life.
Very good. Second question.
Hmm.
What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Oh,
not inherited, not, but you actually went to the record store and forked over the Benjamins.
Oh, man. It might have been Paul Simon's Graceland, or that might have been bought for me because there was like around Christmas time and I got my first Ghetto Blaster. And if it wasn't Graceland, it was probably an AC/DC record on tape, obviously.
You don't remember a specific?
Shit, man. No, my memory's not that good.
All right. Fair enough. favorite local show of 2017? Two questions. The one you played and the one you saw.
Oh, man. All these tough questions. The favorite show that I played? Well, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to say two shows. One was the album release for 155, which was May 12th at Irene's, because it was an amazing night. We had great support, and it was the release of the first album for this band, and it's like a really, really personal album to me. So that was like, yeah, I was really happy with that. And then the other one that I played was a tribute to my friend JS, who passed away in March of this year.
Was that Johnny Moon Hammock?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, John Sebastian. And so in July, we did like a JS Fest. There was like a baseball tournament and then a concert with like I don't know, 20 plus bands all paying tribute to him. And I got Glorious Moon Rockets together for that. And that was, yeah, it was amazing. It was an amazing day, an amazing night. And you know, for a tribute to an amazing guy.
That's a shame. And good on you.
Yeah, very sad for sure. Yeah, that's a huge loss.
Yeah, to all those who remember him, keep his memory alive. Next question.
Yeah.
I
didn't answer which was the best local show that I saw.
That you saw? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Shit, man, there's so many, and it's like so hard to pinpoint one. Like, you know when someone asks you something and you're like, you draw a blank because you're like thinking too hard? Let's come back to that one. I'll try and think, and like by the end of the podcast, maybe I'll have something.
Okay.
I'll dredge the memory banks.
We're going to come back to the favorite show that Chris saw, and we'll go right to question four.
Mm.
This is actually 3.5 because we're going to come back to the question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is your desert island record? If you were stranded on like a desert island and you had one record to spend with until the buzzards got you.
Yeah. Oh, man, these questions are tough, and I feel pressured because I have to answer them so quickly, but...
No, take your time.
Oh, yeah, so it's not so rapid fire.
No.
I don't know the names of the, like, is the Hawkwind album Masters of the Universe? So maybe that, or like Dark Side of the Moon, something like, probably something like that, either Dark Side of the Moon or that early, early Hawkwind, because there's so many, the albums are so intricate and there's so much to them that you could listen to them a million times and never get bored of listening to them.
Very good. Hawkwind, another Lemmy project?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and I would prefer it to be one of the earlier albums that he was on.
Okay.
For sure, yeah.
I'm going to improv this one.
Okay.
Just because...
I've been improving my answers.
You and I are both cat lovers. We both we're both cat owners.
Yep. Well, they own us.
Yes. Yeah. And he's going to scratch my Marshall fridge, that motherfucker. I know
it's not a real amp.
I put that grill in front of it right there.
Okay. I thought you were going to... There's a crossbow beside the fridge that you can't see. I thought you were going to say... That you, the listener, can't see. I thought you were going to say, you put the crossbow there as a warning to him. Like, oh, scratch my fridge.
I will. I'll shoot him right in the ass.
You'll become
anyway,
a pair of mittens.
If Lemmy could understand... This is totally improvised.
Lemmy's
if
my cat.
Lemmy is Chris's cat. Mm-hmm. If Lemmy could understand human goings-on...
Mm-hmm.
For 30 seconds, what advice would you give him?
Shut up. Just shut up. I've never not fed you. You've been fed on time.
Is
every
he a
time.
Talker? Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I love. Actually, if you could understand anything, I would just be like, man, I love you so much.
Yeah. Oh.
Fuck.
Lemmy. Do you want to go back to the best show you saw? Or do you want to keep moving on?
Yeah, keep going because I hadn't been thinking about it. So I'm going to try.
These aren't rapid fire. These are more like questions.
Okay.
I have three questions for you.
Yeah. questions three I have.
And
for
they're
you.
Very fitting to what we've been talking about, especially with like Lemmy Kilmister, who is the deceased wonderful fucking legend
mm-hmm.
that was Motorhead. And these are very structured around Chris's, I hope. Anyway, fuck. If Lemmy showed up at your front door, not your cat, but the actual man, if Lemmy showed up at your front door and he said he had 24 hours to party, what would you do?
Well, I'd party with him.
But what would you do?
We would drink and play music. Yeah, it would have to be a jam. Yeah, combination of drinking and jamming and like jamming and then drinking. And he would just, I would just let him tell me about his life and all the things he's seen and done.
You wouldn't take him to the casino and sit him down at a gambling machine?
No. And I would
feed him a Jack and Coke.
I haven't smoked in almost 5 years. I would start smoking again to smoke with Lemmy.
Fair enough.
Yeah. No questions asked.
Okay. The next question. These aren't rapid fire though. You can
elaborate. This is great. I like this pace.
Being a proud Ottawa music supporter, fan, and mm-hmm. sometime promoter. What are the best ways to get noticed in the local scene? If you were like a new band or if you...
Oh,
from your opinion.
Make great music. And then once you've made something great, get it out on local radio. Like campus radio is the best. CKCU, CHUO, they're amazing, amazing stewards and supporters of local music. So yeah, that would be my recommendation.
How would you associate yourself or... get to know like the people in Ottawa, like the other musicians?
Go to shows. Yeah. Go to
support.
As many, yeah. Go to as many shows as you can and then just, you know, hang out there and meet people that way.
All right. And the second question on that same question
mm-hmm.
is what is the worst things bands can do or artists? What are the worst things bands or artists can do?
Play covers. No, the worst thing bands or artists can do is, not be just honest with their music or their take. Like, just be your fucking self. You know, not being yourself is the worst thing that you can do.
Yeah, that's fair. I've always said on this podcast, and when it comes to like local artists or local musicians or you're in the scene, go out and just talk to people. You know, everybody are people.
We don't know that for sure.
Yeah, people are people, and most people are like pretty cool, but try to not be a dick.
Yeah.
And just be friendly and just go up and spark a conversation. I know it's not super easy for some people, but most of the artists and most of the people in bands in Ottawa are pretty cool people. And if you just want to go up and say hello, come up and say hello.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know.
Definitely.
You can make a friendship and
it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, it'll grow from there, and it's not like an overnight thing.
No.
Takes years, man. My band Goat has been together for almost 7 years, and we're still always meeting people and just conversating. Is that a word?
I hear people using it.
Yeah.
I think it's becoming part of the lexicon.
We're into the dial a bottle now, so
yeah.
This is the end, my friends. I think that's it for the rapid questions.
So, in terms of favorite shows, I'm still blanking. I know there was a bunch of really great shows. Now, when you said local, did it have to be local bands or shows that I saw locally?
Any show that you saw in 2017.
Yeah, so there was like some really great shows at Ottawa Explosion this year, as there is every year. But seeing Bougie Boys live was fucking amazing. Holy shit, they were good. You know,
where are they from?
Montreal.
Okay.
Or Halifax? No. Ooh, yeah, I think Montreal. And I was like, and I'm wearing their shirt actually right now, but as like for B, not that they were any less, but I'd seen them before, and that was my first time seeing Bougie Boys. But FaZe, who are also from Montreal, who are fucking amazing.
What kind of music is it?
FaZe is hardcore, and Bougie Boys are like punk rock kind of stuff, like almost like a hyperactive Johnny Thunders kind of thing.
Okay, yeah,
that's probably not the right comparison. They're awesome. Look them up. Yeah,
cool. All right, we're gonna play one more song from Chris Landry and the Seasick Mamas.
Can I look at it? Because I don't remember all the songs that are on there now.
Of course.
Let's go with Two Bedroom. No, let's go with Writing to Explain because I love the intro to that song.
Writing to Explain.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to play this song from Chris Landry and the Seasick Mamas. This song is called Writing to Explain off of Chris Landry and the Seasick Mamas 155. We're going to come back and we're going to wrap this up. That was Chris Landry and the Seasick Mamas. That song was called Writing to Explain. Let's talk about running.
Oh, shit.
Like yeah.
From something?
Well, I don't know. Running from the police, running from rabid dogs.
Running from the responsibilities of life.
The chupacabra, you never know. But we, you and I, this last September, did the half marathon, the Army Run in Ottawa.
Yeah, we did that.
And we were just talking off air. Because this is a radio show, apparently.
This is legit.
We were talking about like running marathons and half marathons and shit.
Yeah.
And when did you start running?
I mean, I ran as a kid. I would run around when we played games and stuff.
No.
Oh, like, yeah. 6 or 7 years ago, very casually.
Okay.
Like, I would just go out every now and then and run a little bit.
I was a smoker. I smoked a lot of cigarettes in
my
life.
So was I, yeah.
And I had a girlfriend that... started running when she quit smoking. And at first I was just like, oh yeah, I go run. Yeah, it's cool. Mm-hmm. You're out of the house for a couple hours. I could get some free time.
Get some smoking time.
Yeah, but then I quit smoking and I was like, okay, I'm going to run too. And I kind of followed her up on that whole thing. And then I started running local events. I did started with like 5Ks mm-hmm. and then 10Ks. Then I worked my way up to half marathons and I've done 5 half marathons.
That's impressive.
Well, it is, but I, you know, it's not as impressive, I guess, if you're working for time and stuff, because you run like a, you run like the fucking wind, you.
Well, I mean, again, it's perspective. Like, I run faster than some, but not as fast as others.
I did this year's half marathon, which was not my slowest, but it was like my third slowest. I think I did it in 2 hours and 12 minutes, and you did it, which is 21.1 kilometers, which is the half marathon.
It's a long fucking way to
run. And you did your first half marathon this year in an hour and like, what, 40 minutes?
48.
Jesus.
I want like an hour and 40 or sub 140 is my goal.
That is some running though. That's like you're giving her. Like what's going through your brain when you're fucking like bulleting down the street?
Well, one, just get it done. And two, it's how good that beer is going to taste at the end of the race.
Isn't that always the goal though?
Holy fuck, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And we were touching on whether you'd ever do a marathon.
Yeah, at this point, I don't see that happening. I'll do more halves. Like I like that distance, and I think it's a distance where you can still run fast. Mm-hmm. At 140, you're really having to pace yourself. Well, at least for me, man. Like to get to like 42 kilometers, that's man. I'd rather drive that than run.
The beauty of what you did too is because I remember we were talking before the race even came up, and you would do like 10K. Or 15K or something like that.
Yeah, 15 was my max at that point.
And then, and the day that the half marathon came up, I think I asked you, I said, have you done the 21.1 yet? And you're like, nah.
No.
15.
Yeah, 15 was the max.
And I've always said whenever I'm running, like, you hit about 15, 16 kilometers, and that's when the fucking reality hits, and you're like, why am I here? What am I doing? And you still pushed through and got, like, 148. That's impressive as shit.
But your words came back to haunt me because I felt like I was going to die at about 14 and a half kilometers, realizing that there was like 6.5 more fucking kilometers to go.
You start passing the people like laying on the side of the road, which happens every year.
People started passing me at that point. That was what made it hard. Oh, yeah? I had to slow right down. Like I was killing it. And then I almost had to walk. I wouldn't let myself walk. Mm. It was fucking hot that day too. It was too hot.
It was hot, yeah. I walked very briefly through a couple of the shower stations, you know, where you get the water and they have the like the things.
Yeah, I would, so revitalizing.
I would stop and I would just walk just through the shower and get super soaked, and then I would run again at my pace. But that's a hell of a thing, running.
It was intense.
Yeah.
Fun though, for some weird reason, I love it.
It's incredibly like satisfying, like when you cross that line, yeah. and you do it, yeah, yeah, it's a hell of a thing.
When they hand you that banana and that bagel, wow, that makes it all fucking worthwhile.
It's only half a banana. They give you the half the banana.
Well, I guess when I went in, there was just boxes.
You had full bananas?
Boxes of full bananas, man.
That's what the full. That's what the fast guys get is the full bananas.
Yeah. Well, they know. Yeah, you've earned that full banana.
I got a warm chocolate milk.
Oh, because we've already eaten all the full bananas by the time you guys get through there.
I got a warm chocolate milk, a half banana, and a quarter of a bagel.
I didn't see any chocolate milk.
Well, that's for the slow guys.
I don't drink
because they know
so.
That they're on the verge of death.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been, we're going to wrap this up because we're deep into this.
Yeah, we went from music to running. Now we're off topic officially.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've eaten, like, to anyone who thinks that this whole...
you're going to give away all the secrets.
No, they already know it. Anybody who listens to this, this whole podcast is not one stream of consciousness.
We've been here for a week.
There's a couple of edits and there's a couple of pauses. We've already eaten a full pizza. We've drinking a lot of beers.
Mm-hmm.
We went outside and we made snow angels. But anyway, we're going to wrap this up. This has been the season finale of the Ego and Vice podcast. This is episode 13.
Lucky number 13.
Yeah, no, there you go.
I didn't know. Amazing. I'm glad I'm
Congratulations.
On 13. Yeah.
We've had Chris, I've had Chris Landry on the show and he has...
You got to bring me back. Sorry to interrupt you. You got to bring me back for episode 666.
You're actually, I was about to say that, he has actually agreed to come back for episode 20.
Yeah.
To take the helm and do, and be the...
I'm going
to
grill you.
And actually be the host, and he's going to interview me.
Yeah. I'm going to start working on questions tonight when I get home.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And that should be January, February. That should be around March, I think.
And at that point, we'll probably both be getting ready for another race of some sort and maybe some shows too.
Yeah. I should start running. Well, the Motorhead show, which, yeah, let's promote that. That's coming up.
Yeah, January 27th at the House of Targ.
Cool. And it's us and Slumlord and Slim and Popular and
Eagleson. Greg Harris, a.k.a. Lefty McWrighty, is putting together a project for the show. Oh, man, I'm drawing a blank. Monobrow is going to do a set of Hawkwind songs. I think Slim and Popular is doing Hawkwind songs.
Cool.
We got a band from Hamilton coming up called Xanadu, which is apparently like a bunch of guys from different bands from Hamilton. I can't even remember how that came about. And I think that's all the bands. If I've missed someone, I'm sorry. But yeah, it's Saturday, January 27th at the House of Targ. We're supporting a charity called Phoebe Rocks, which is a couple in Ottawa who had a daughter who unfortunately passed away from leukemia, that they now offer support to families that are traveling over 200 kilometers for cancer care in Ottawa and also donate money to childhood cancer research.
That's amazing. Great cause. Come support. Does Chris Landry and the Seasick Mamas have anything coming up?
No, nothing locally. We're just working on recording right now.
All right. Next album?
Yeah.
Next record?
Yeah, we're about halfway through now, roughly.
Cool.
Yeah, there'll be a release show in the spring. That'll be the next thing. So.
Awesome. Yeah. So the next time you're going to see Goat is at the Motorhead tribute show. The Remy. Remy. Well, Remy might be there, but
he's going to sing Ace of Spades.
Is he?
Yeah.
With you guys?
No. I'm looking at my phone here to see if I. Sorry, the list of bands to see if I miss any. But he as Remy Royale. What he does is he sings, if you're not familiar with Remy Royale, he's like a one-man lounge karaoke kind of thing. So he sings along to these electronic backing tracks of popular songs. Mm-hmm. As far as Motorhead goes, the only like sort of Muzak version of Motorhead that he could find was Ace of Spades. So I give him that one. Or I ask him to play that one every year and he's doing it. So.
That's the golden goose though when it comes to Motorhead, no? Everybody
it's
wants to play that one?
Man, not too many people ask for that song. I think just because it's like, it's a great song, but it's like, I think if you're a real, like a, I don't want to say a real fan, but if you're like a real deep Motorhead fan or Lemmy fan, mm-hmm. there's probably things in there that Ace of Spades is the gateway song that gets you into Motorhead. And then there's a whole catalog of songs that are just as good or if not better than that song.
Yeah, fair enough.
And more fun to play. For me, it's Bomber, man.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think Goat is playing Eat the Rich. We're playing Rock and Roll. We're playing Too Good to Be True, which is super later. Like I think it's like 92.
Yeah.
Around 92.
Definitely not classic Motorhead.
But it's really, it's like the punk rock Motorhead song. It's like really melodic. Yeah. And I've always loved that song. Too good to be true.
It's good. It's good later Motorhead, for sure.
Yeah, it's good. But we're playing some earlier stuff. And we aim for 5, but we'll probably only do 4. Because my drummer has problems like learning things. I love you, Mike, but you do.
Filthy's not easy to cop.
Yeah,
he's got his own style. That filthy beat.
Uh huh. Okay, so like I said, this is the end of episode 13. This is going to be a 2-parter. So I guess you're listening to the.
If you've made it this far.
Yeah, I guess you're listening to the end of part 2 of myself and Chris Landry, and like I said, Chris is going to be back for episode 20 to interview my sorry ass. So thank you very much. I guess Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays and all that.
Yeah, Merry if Christmas, you follow that holidays. Kind of stuff. Yeah. So anyway, this has been Ego and Vice. Thanks for coming out, bud.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right. We'll see you next year.
Ain't all right. Hope I can hear.
we all fall down. Spaces between all the things that we've seen, hands that we've held over time. Your face, it shines behind our lines. Time stands as we all fall down.
That was part two of my interview with my good buddy Chris Landry of Chris Landry and the Seasick Mamas. I ended that with a song called Time Stands because that's my favorite Seasick Mamas song. You can find Chris Landry at seasickmamas.bandcamp.com. You can go on Facebook and look up Chris J. Wizard. And send him a like, send him a friend. If you see him at the bar, buy him a drink. He likes beer. All right, cool. So this has been, for sure, the season finale of season one of Ego and Vice. If you want to get a hold of me, you can always email me at egoandvice@gmail.com. You can check out the website at egoandvice.com. If you want to be on the show, if you want to just say hello, if you want your band showcased, just reach out. That's what I'm here for. And I will do my best to get you on, talk to you, and just, you know, here we go. I am going to return January 8th for the season premiere of Ego and Vice Season 2. I have a really good friend of mine. Her name is Sarah Destruction, who's going to be in South Hood Studio, and she's going to help me ring in the new year, ring in the new season of Ego and Vice, and we're just going to keep going. And 2018 should be a good one. To all my friends, stay safe. Have a great holiday. And just be with your friends and be with your family and let them know how much you care about them. And, you know, it's been a great year. 2017 has been a great year. It's been a fucked up year, but it's been a great year. And if you have people to celebrate that with or enjoy that with every day, remember your friends and your family are the most important things in the world. So that's it for me. As always, my name is Mike and I'm your host for Ego and Vice. And that's it. We'll see you next year. Take care.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.